The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Are you standing for the Lord in your life? Are you making decisions every day through prayer and submission and overcoming to get it right? Or are you saying, well, I just want it wrong. I want it wrong because I like it that way.
That is Pastor Michael Oxentenko, and this is Reaching Your Heart. Here at Reaching Your Heart, we believe that God answers prayer. If you need prayer, call us today at 888-244-HOPE. That's 888-244-4673. And as a reminder, you can always tune into the live worship service held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You're most welcome to be our guest, either online or in person. Today's Reaching Your Heart with Pastor Michael Oxentenko is the conclusion to The Man in the Middle and the Four. Thank you for listening today. Here is Pastor Michael Oxentenko.
And so in our commitment to Christ, we find the anchor of life. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. That's pretty straight, respectful, direct talking to the powerful leader of the world. King, respectfully, here's what they're saying. We want you to know that even though everybody else in the whole world is bowing down to your image and to you in a way, we're going to stand up for God anyway. And that's who we are. We're the stand-up kind of men, not the bowing down kind of men. Our God is the only God we're going to bow down to because our God is God. King, we're standing. They tell him very clearly in verse 18 that they will not serve his gods or worship his golden image. Forget it, King. We stand for God. I ask you the question, what are you doing? Are you standing for the Lord in your life? Are you making decisions every day through prayer and submission and overcoming to get it right? Or are you saying, well, I just want it wrong. I want it wrong because I like it that way. So the king ordered them to be thrown into the fire of the burning fiery furnace. Serious consequences for doing the right thing. The text could just as easily read furnace, you know, the furnace. But instead, it's a burning fiery furnace, which is a real hot furnace. The extremely hot furnace is their fate. Now look at verse 21 of Daniel 3. Then these men were bound in their mantles, their tunics, their hats, and their garments, and they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was strict, and the furnace very hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Consider what happens immediately. Notice this. The men who brought them near to the door of the furnace died from the heat of the furnace. That's the first outcome of the decision. Verse 23 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell bound into the furnace. They were tied up when they went in. They were thrown down. You know, they wouldn't bow down. They were thrown down. They were tied up when they fell down into the fire. They had ropes around them when they were thrown down into the furnace. The men who refused to bow down were thrown down with ropes. That's the language of oppression, being forced, of slavery in a way. Now look at verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose up in haste and he said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound to the fire? They answered the king, true, O king. Now the king is here consulting his psychologists and psychotherapists, his counselors and political advisors with a sanity check. He's asking if he's out of his mind, do you see what I see, guys? It's a reality check. And they say, yep, oh, true, oh, king. Now, verse 25, he moves into an area we don't know if they see it or not. He answered, but I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of God or the son of the gods. The Aramaic can go either way. Now, here's the question. Did they see three or four? We don't know from the narrative. The king saw four men with a man in the middle of the fire, a man who had not been seen before is in there with them. There is no indication in the text that they saw the man the king saw. When the pre-existent Christ shows up in Daniel 10 as the man in linen, a great fear falls on Daniel's friends and they all flee, but they don't see. So maybe something like that is going on here. They saw nothing in Daniel 10 when someone was there. Daniel sees the man in linen, but his friends don't see the man at all. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar is operating in that capacity. There are three in the fire with the man in the middle who is the pre-existent Son of God, Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar says, I see a fourth man, and the fourth is like a son of the gods, or King James Version, the Son of God. The King James says, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The man in the middle, friend, is Jesus. Are you with me? The man in the middle is Jesus, who is standing up and walking about with the three Hebrew men who stood up for the God who would not bow down to the golden image. The king says in verse 25, but I see four men loose. Now think about what that means. To be loosed is to be free. How many of you want to be free? Freedom. Is that a bad word? Freedom. Can you say it and feel good about it? I want freedom. The Bible says Christ has set us free for freedom. We're not called to be legalists, but we're called to be enlightened Christians set free by the word of God, to obey for the right reasons. You know, for me in my life, one of the hardest things for me is to quit trying to be smart with God's word. What about you? I have all kinds of ways of explaining away what God wants me to do in life. Are you that way too? To humbly submit to his word is hard, but with it comes freedom. So to be loose is to be free. To be loose is to lose those ropes and leave them far behind and walk about as free men in any circumstance. The Aramaic word for loose that is used here can also mean to abide or to dwell. It has a double meaning in the Aramaic language. In Ezra 5:2, it is used when Zerubbabel and Joshua were freed up to build the sanctuary in Jerusalem. Remember, the plain of Dura means dwelling. If I were to quiz you next week, you would say, what does Dura mean? Dwelling. The word for loose in Aramaic also means to abide or to dwell. So there's an idea overlap here. Now, Daniel uses the same word used right here for loose in Daniel 2:22. So open our Bibles and turn there. Daniel said, back in Daniel 2, when blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Now, here's the key verse, verse 22. He reveals deep and mysterious things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light what? Dwells with him. That's the word for loose. Here, the same word used for loose in Daniel 3:25 is used for where the light dwells with God in Daniel 2:22. So you're loosed when you're dwelling with God, who is the light. Hotter than a million suns is the glory of God, the knowledge of God. And you would think you'd be burned away dwelling with God, and yet you are loosed from your bonds because of your relationship with God. When God frees a man or woman, friends, he frees and looses that man or woman from the ropes that bind him, that live with him and for him, in an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why Christ said, abide with me and I with you. Friends, we are free when we come into relationship with Jesus, where the light dwells, and there we dwell with him and abide. And there he looses us from our sins, as John says in Revelation 1. There we find God in Jesus, who is the light of the world, our eternal dwelling place in all generations. Now, my favorite verse is John 17:3, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But it has a context. Look at verse 1 and go down to verse 3 with me. When Jesus has spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Since thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And then verse 3, and this is eternal life. Why don't you read it with me? This is what? Eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. See, when we dwell with Christ, when we abide with Christ, we live forever. We're loosed. When you stand for Christ in your life, when God leads you into the fire of affliction that would naturally destroy you, friend, you learn in that hot fire with Jesus that you are freed from every rope that other men and women put on you, that you are not a slave, you are a child of God. And that's what these men are demonstrating. You learn that you're now able to live with Jesus Christ free and forever in the fire. Thus Jesus becomes your dwelling place in the fire. Moses said, "Thou, O Lord, hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." You know, that James Webb telescope, as it looks back in time, can't look far enough to see the heat bath that created the universe. But that heat bath of fire is our loving God who ordered the laws of physics and brought everything into existence so that we can live on a planet swirling around a sun that swirls in a galaxy, that swirls in a complex of galaxies, that's part of a macro universe that we can't grasp with our minds. Christ in us, the hope of glory, dwelling with Christ. Jesus becomes your dwelling place in the fire. Christ becomes your friend in the fire. Christ becomes your heavenly home in the furnace of affliction in your daily life. And that is an okay place to be, friend. If you find Jesus Christ in the burning, fiery furnace you have been plunged into, you are rich. The white, hot heat of his love is far better than any kingdom of gold that ties you up with ropes and throws you down on your face. Choose Jesus. It is better to be free in the fire with Jesus than a slave to the world on the outside of the furnace, bowing down to the golden image of an arrogant king and kingdom. Hebrews 12:28, amazing verse, verse 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship and reverence and awe. Why? For our God is a... And some people say, what on earth is hell? Well, hell isn't on earth. Hell is pictured as an event at the end of the millennium. It's when the glory of our God, who is a consuming fire, opens up. And sin cannot live in the presence of a perfect being who is as antithetical to darkness because he is the light. Our God is a consuming fire. In the furnace, we see three men who will not bow down to an image, walking free in the fire with a man in the middle who is the pre-existent Jesus Christ. But what about the fourth man on the outside of the furnace who draws near? You see, we forget about him in the story. We only think about the three and the one. The fire killed the man who came near to the door and threw the man down, right? You got near the burning fiery furnace, what happened to you? I'm asking you. You died. But it didn't kill the fourth man who came near to the door. Did you notice that? Look at the next verse in verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace and said, it killed the three, but it didn't kill him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. He goes right up to the door. It should have just vaporized the guy. It didn't do it. We missed that in the storyline. Why did the fire kill the man who threw them in and down, but not the man who came near to the door to call them out? Now, he wasn't a perfect guy. He had issues in his life. He was a bad guy in many ways. But you see, he's enamored with the man in the middle. He sees the man in the middle who sees him. The story's not just about the man in the middle and the three, but we have a larger focus. God cares about Nebuchadnezzar. He's being drawn to Christ. He's being drawn to God, and God will not allow the fire to destroy someone who's coming to him. You see, that's the point of the story. The king called them out from the fire, but they didn't want to leave the man in the middle, no doubt. He was being drawn to him. They found heaven in that fire, and it was a safe place to be with the man in the middle. They no doubt wanted to stay there because they saw the true king in his beauty in the fire. I'd like to preach a sermon one of these days called Home in Heavenly Hell. You're just looking at me today, you know? Home in Heavenly Hell. And I'd like to base it on Isaiah 33:14. Is that fair enough? Can you open your Bibles and not take my word for granted? Just open your Bibles. What do you mean home in heavenly hell? All right, who is a consuming fire in the Bible? Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. What is hell? Fire, right? Now, ask yourself the question, if our God is a consuming fire, how long does the fire last? Be honest. That's right. God goes on forever, right? Doesn't mean the sinner lasts forever. Doesn't mean the fire that's kindled by his presence lasts forever. But he, as the fire, lasts forever. Now, look at Isaiah 33:14, and let's read it as it's presented here. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless. Now, is he talking about righteous people or unrighteous people here? Are you interacting with me? What? My hearing's lousy, so you have to speak loud. What? Godless. Yeah, he's not talking about believers. These are unbelievers. The sinners in Zion are afraid, trembling to seize the godless. And here's the quotation mark. They're speaking. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with what? Everlasting burnings. In other words, the fire that never goes out. That's what it's saying. Put your hand over the text. Now, according to most preachers, in most pulpits across the land, who lives in the everlasting fire? According to most preachers, come on, help me with this. The lost. Sinners go to hell, they burn forever and ever, right? Now here the sinners are asking that question. Who can live in the midst of the everlasting burnings? Now look at verse 15. The answer is surprising. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppression, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. That's most television there. He will dwell on the heights. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Now look at verse 17. For your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will behold a land that stretches afar. So our God is a consuming fire. Those who will live in the midst of the everlasting burnings are those who can live in the presence of God. God is the eternal fire. Friend, I want to be in the fire with Jesus one day and not die and enjoy the environment. Would you like to be there? I mean, these angels are flames of fire, the Bible says. They live in a higher energy state.
We will continue with today's Reaching Your Heart and Pastor Michael Oxentenko in just a moment. So please stay tuned. If you would like to attend the worship service, I will have details on how you can do that at the close of our broadcast today. You can also attend online at reachinghearts.org/video. That's reachinghearts.org/video. Many archived messages are available there for you, and you can attend a live service in streaming format on that website. Let's continue now with Pastor Michael Oxentenko on today's Reaching Your Heart.
Christ is coming in flaming fire. It won't hurt you if you love Jesus, just like it didn't hurt Daniel's friends, because we will be like him in that day. When the king called them out of the fire, he figured out that the image doesn't matter anymore. You can leave it to the trash bin of history. The true dura, that means dwelling, is the dwelling place of that man in the middle. That's where it's at. The man in the middle is home. He is worth recognizing as God. The king recognizes that the fourth man is the angel of the Lord, who is the Lord. Many Christians will recognize that this person is Christ, but then they'll ignore what Nebuchadnezzar said about him. Let me interact with that. The same angel will rescue Daniel from the lion's den in Daniel 6 because he is more than an angel. It's Christ. The book of Daniel calls him Michael the Great Prince, who is Daniel's prince in Daniel 10:21. The Great Prince. Now, if you're the Great Prince, there are no greater princes. If you're the Great Prince and you're the Son of God, or a Son of God, and you're the Great One, you are the Son of God. He's the Great Prince who has charge over God's people in Daniel 12:1, who will deliver them from the end time Antichrist in Daniel 12, and who will resurrect the righteous dead at the end of the age in Daniel 12, verse 2. That's why Paul says that Christ comes with the voice of the archangel. And Jude 9 says Michael is the archangel, because Christ is the ruler of the angels. He's God in angel form in the Old Testament. The holy second person of the Trinity, eternal God, who took the form of the mighty angel of the Lord. This angel who is Michael, his name is a question in Hebrew. Who is equal to God, or who is just like God? Friend, Jesus is the only right answer to that very important question in your life. Who is just like God? No created being could be the answer to that question. In Bethlehem's manger, it was God with us, Emmanuel, the babe of Bethlehem. The angel that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the furnace as the man in the middle is the prince of the heavenly host in Daniel 8:11. He is the prince of princes in Daniel 8:12-25. He is Messiah prince in Daniel 9:25, who dies for us in Daniel 9:26. He's the prince of the covenant in Daniel 11:22, who dies in the flood for you and me to wash away our sins. And he is the man in linen in Daniel 10 and Daniel 12 with a perfect righteousness, who stands over the stream to guard his people and to lead them to living waters in all ages. The king was preserved from the heat of the fire to live and behold Jesus, who was drawing the king to him, who is the man in the middle, the man in the middle. Daniel 3:27, pop back with me in the book of Daniel to round this up. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their mantles were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Now, the only thing that's gone are the cords that have bound them. That's the only thing that gets burned up in the fire. When you go through affliction with Christ, the only thing you lose is that which has enslaved you. So go through the fire and be with the man in the middle and be free. And look at verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set at naught the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." In Daniel 12:1, Michael the great prince will deliver God's people at the time of the end. There shall be a time of trouble since never was a people until that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. The Bible says Michael, the great prince, will stand up who has charge and guards your people. He's the man in linen. He's the guardian protector of God's people in every age. He's the one who is just like God. Here in Daniel 3, God delivers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in their time by the pre-existent Christ. Friends, Michael is God. Because Jesus is God and Michael is Jesus. You can't have the voice of the archangel in the resurrection, 1 Thessalonians 4, unless you are the archangel. Yet the archangel is not an angel. Paul says he was in the form of God and he took the form of a servant, an angel, and then human form. Not a God, as some would teach, but God. He is the answer to the question, who is equal or just like God? He was God with them in angel form before he became God with us in human form. He's always been the God that we can touch, feel, and know. The king is in a journey to know God. He doesn't know him yet. God is drawing him, and God won't let the fire destroy him when he's coming to him. He will make mistakes. King Nebuchadnezzar will mess up. He'll be disciplined by God in chapter 4. But he will come to know God in the end, and Nebuchadnezzar himself will write Daniel 4. It's in the first person. Nebuchadnezzar is one of the prophets, and an oddball prophet at that, to whom the spirit of inspiration was given way back then by God. The Nebu in his name, in Hebrew, means prophet. So God isn't finished with Nebuchadnezzar because there is more for the king to learn in Daniel 4 from God. The king who made a decree for all people to bow down to his image now makes a decree for all people to hold their lip about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He hasn't learned yet that the man in the middle sets you free. He hasn't learned yet that you don't have to force people to come to God. You can be drawn because the man in the middle is looking at you. Daniel 3:29. "Therefore I make a decree," the king says. "Any people or nation or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," now he's not using the fiery furnace, "shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins." So he thought he was being softer. You know, that's not softer, is it? "Shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses shall be laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That's how the story ends. Friend, Nebuchadnezzar left that image in Dura to the trash heap of history. Facing the furnace with the four men, he got a faint glimpse that day that the man in the middle was looking back at him. The man in the middle loved him, just like the other three whose lives he had preserved. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all lived that day as the king also drew near to the door. That was hot. It was a burning, fiery furnace. Should have killed him. But the white, hot heat of the love of the man in the middle saved his life. And in the grace of God, friend, the king lived and did not die and was not destroyed by the fire at the door. Dear friend, Jesus says, "All you who labor and are weary, come unto me." Come to Christ, and he's going to treat you the same way with love and kindness. In your journey, he's not going to destroy you. He's going to preserve you. You set your eyes to have a relationship with him. He'll get your life ordered. He'll love you. He'll fix it. He'll forgive you. You'll meet him at the door, and you will like the white hot heat of his glory because it's love. And you will live forever and ever and ever and ever in the Torah kingdom, the fifth kingdom, because he is the stone rock of that kingdom. And we have good reason to live with a king like that. God bless you. Dear Father God, we want fire in our lives, the kind that makes us happy and joyful, that isn't extreme to the extent that we're out of control and we lose our way, but helps us to be vibrant Christians. Father, give us Jesus. Bless everyone here this day with him. Lord, we don't want to be judgmental toward anyone. Judge our hearts, purify them, make them right with you. Make our walk clean, uncompromising. And Lord, we don't want to be self-deceived. Help us to stand with the man in the middle so we will not bow down in the mark of the beast issue at the end of time. In Jesus' name, amen.
That will conclude The Man in the Middle and The Four. Today's Reaching Your Heart with Pastor Michael Oxentanko. Thank you so much for listening today. We would really love it if you would join us for our worship service. It's held every Saturday at 11 o'clock and Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., either online or in person. If you would like to join us in person, the address is 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. That's 6100 Brooklyn Bridge Road, Laurel, Maryland, 20707. Or if you're more comfortable, you are certainly welcome to join us online at reachinghearts.org/video. That's reachinghearts.org/video. The live broadcast will be streaming and available for you on that website, reachinghearts.org/video. Thanks for listening, and we do pray that God is reaching your heart.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.